From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Since the beginning of the year, more than 100 threats have come in waves, to Jewish community centers and schools around the country. Bomb threats, evacuations, fear. Hundreds of gravestones have been toppled, vandalized in Jewish burial places in St. Louis, Philadelphia. In Kansas, two Indian immigrants shot, one killed just eating out. On Tuesday night, President Trump condemned these attacks in his first address to Congress. For some, it's too little, too late. This hour On Point, threats, attacks, the spate of hate. And what's going on? You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. What is happening here and why? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Here was the president very early in his address to the joint session of Congress on Tuesday night.
Recent threats targeting Jewish community centers and vandalism of Jewish cemeteries, as well as last week's shooting in Kansas City, remind us that while we may be a nation divided on policies, we are a country that stands united in condemning hate and evil in all of its very ugly forms.
A very prominent condemnation of hate and evil there, but for those who had seen what's going on, was it soon enough? Here was Andy Banker, reporter for Fox 2 News in St. Louis at the Hesed Shel Emeth Cemetery on February 20th, the morning that vandalization and desecration was discovered there.
This is the Hesed Shel Emeth Cemetery at Olive and Hanley. I counted close to 100 toppled headstones when I'd walked through earlier, and a caretaker told me that I hadn't seen them all. Regardless of intent, this is sacred ground, a St. Louis landmark. There are still burials here, and nearly everyone in St. Louis knows someone who was buried here, especially people in the Jewish community.
We want to look in this hour at what is going on here and why. Joining me first today from New York is Jane Eisner, editor-in-chief of The Forward, a national Jewish newspaper and website. She's been following the issue closely. Jane, welcome to On Point. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom, for having me.
Can you give us, and this has a number of faces. We've seen attacks on mosques. We, of course, saw the shootings in Olathe, Kansas. But there has been a concerted, well, I don't know if it's concerted. You tell me. There's been a large number of bomb threats, warnings, threats, and acts of vandalization against Jewish cemeteries, Jewish community centers, and more. What's the scale of this, Jane? Just give us a sense of the scale of what's going on.
Well, I think it's inescapable in terms of thinking that it has escalated. Let's go back for a moment. In the presidential campaign last year, our guest here today, also from the Anti-Defamation Leagues, did an excellent report showing how harassment of Jewish journalists online had increased dramatically during the presidential campaign. And much of that was targeted to supporters of Donald Trump. I'm not saying that it was came exactly from his campaign, but as someone who also received threatening messages, I can say that it came from his supporters. So we start with the media, and then you see these coordinated bomb threats to Jewish community centers. We got to remember, JCCs are like the lifeblood of communities. They're where everybody comes together, not just
basketball
Jews.
Courts and swimming pools
exactly.
A place to relax,
I mean,
and take classes and be together.
Exactly. I used to swim every morning at my JCC.
Yep.
My kids went to day camps there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're talking about a very open and vulnerable place. And even though, thank goodness, no one has been hurt, we also see these, you know, heartbreaking pictures of little kids getting evacuated from daycare centers. So we start with the journalists, then you see the JCCs, and now, sadly, these two cemeteries. Are they linked? I don't know. But I think it certainly seems that this isn't just a random act of vandalism. When you're going to go in and turn over hundreds of headstones, that seems purposeful, to make a statement of some kind. And so while I think it's important for us not to get hysterical and not to blow this out of proportion,
mm-hmm.
there is no it's hard not to feel emotionally that it's escalating, especially, as you noted, when it comes at a time when mosques are being targeted, when people of dark skin are being killed just because of how they look. And it is of a piece here.
A fifth wave of these bomb threats hitting Jewish community centers on Monday. This was CNN's Bryn Gingras talking about the number of threats that have been received since just the beginning of this year.
While these have all turned out to be hoaxes, the JCC Association says it's never experienced anything like this before. So again, here are the numbers. Again, we just got these new numbers. 100 incidents at 81 Jewish-affiliated centers in 33 states.
That's a lot in a short time. We're talking about waves of this. Are these robocalls? Are these individuals calling in? Do you know, Jane?
I don't have any personal information. I know what I read. There is some investigation that this is coming, perhaps even from abroad, in some kind of robotic way. Look, I do think we have to acknowledge that the technology and social media has enabled this hate to burst out. I've never received the kinds of things in my long years as a journalist as I received last year. But we've also never had a situation where we have the president on Twitter and we have everyone on social media. So there's a way in which the anti-Semitism and the bigotry, which was there, has found new expression with technology.
What do you mean you never found or experienced what you experienced last year? You're talking about online attacks, ugly messages against yourself? What did you and other Jewish journalists experience?
Yes. I mean, I got emails with my face photoshopped onto a photograph of a concentration camp survivor with a German soldier pointing a gun at my head. And that trope, that meme, that image was sent to many, many Jewish journalists. I definitely was not the only one. There have even been hateful messages sent to people's homes. I think there, you know that this is probably not going to harm you, but I have to say, you open up your email to this, and it's shocking.
We had the president talking about this earlier in February, on February 21st, before his appearance before the Joint Session of Congress. He was at the National Museum of African American History and Culture. He was touring the museum there, and he said everybody needs to fight bigotry and hatred in all its very ugly forms.
The anti-Semitic threats targeting our Jewish community and community centers are horrible and are painful and a very sad reminder of the work that still must be done to root out hate and prejudice and evil.
That sounds very straightforward, but you've got quite prominent people in the Jewish community saying, look, this has not been enough. This was Steve Goldstein, director of the Anne Frank Center for Mutual Respect, talking with CNN on that same day, saying that President Trump's response to anti-Semitic incidents was insufficient.
Time and again, this president has had an opportunity to condemn anti-Semitism. He had a chance to include Jews in Holocaust remembrance. He didn't. He had a chance to speak out against the desecration of Jewish cemeteries this weekend. He didn't. He had a chance to speak out against bomb threats against JCCs, and he didn't. Today, when he was forced, obviously by some staffers, because it came several news cycles after, he finally spoke out. Is our country so lower in its expectations of what to expect from a president that we are supposed to say, congratulations, Mr. President, you recognize anti-Semitism? That's pathetic.
There, Stephen Goldstein from the Anne Frank Center for Mutual Respect, and others saying, well, what about attacks on mosques and more? Very little mention of that, if any, from this president. But there he was, very prominent on Tuesday night before a joint session of Congress. Jane Eisner, editor-in-chief of The Forward, is with us from New York. We're joined right now as well from New York by Jonathan Greenblatt. He's CEO, National Director of the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL. Jonathan Greenblatt, welcome to On Point. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Tom.
What's going on?
So I think to build upon what Jane said, you know, the Anti-Defamation League has been tracking anti-Semitism and bigotry for generations. And what we've seen in the past 12 to 18 months is incredibly disturbing. There is no precedent for it. We have seen bigotry move from the margins into the mainstream. We've seen it enter the political debate and the public conversations in ways that were previously unknown. What's been particularly alarming is to see the surge of hate crimes that have happened since the election, where literally just a week after the election, a group of white supremacists, the sort of self-styled alt-right, as they like to refer to themselves, held a conference about a football throwaway from the White House, where they used the Heil Hitler salute and lauded the incoming administration.
Yeah.
Now, that may or may not be fair. You know, Donald Trump was involved in that conference. But the fact of the matter is, the surge we have seen, which includes verbal harassment, which includes vandalism, and by that I mean defacing private property, adorning schools with swastikas, desecrating cemeteries, broken windows, as well as physical assaults, the averted attack that happened in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and of course, these bomb threats. And to make it a little bit more clear, we've had 122 bomb threats in the last 2 months. Over 100 have targeted Jewish community centers, 12 at day schools, and two of those bomb threats have come into ADL offices. My office here in Manhattan was targeted last week, and then on Monday night, my office in San Francisco. So what we see here is something more pernicious and more public than we've ever seen before. And it's really, really disturbing. And it's got the entire community at a very high level of anxiety.
The president could not have made his condemnation more prominent, I guess, on Tuesday night. It was almost, I mean, he talked about Black History Month and then civil rights and went straight to this then. Almost the first thing out of his mouth.
Absolutely. It was, I don't know that I agree with the prior quote. I mean, it was meaningful that he chose to open up his first joint address to Congress with this message. It sends a signal. Let's be clear, the president has a position of moral leadership. And when he says enough, when he says no more, that matters. But now the question really is, Tom, how will he pivot from words to action? How will he move from rhetoric to results? And that's really what we're waiting to see.
And, I mean, you talk about this surge in the last 12 to 18 months. That is essentially the time of the rise of Donald Trump.
Correct.
We've got a lot to look at here.
Causation, correlation.
Well, yeah, I'm not, I don't know, but we're talking about it. We've got a lot to look at. Jonathan Greenblatt is here, CEO, National Director of the Anti-Defamation League. Jane Eisner is here, Editor-in-Chief of The Forward, joining us both from New York. Richard Cohen joins us in a moment from Montgomery, Alabama, and the Southern Poverty Law Center. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Talking this hour about Jewish cemeteries vandalized, Jewish community centers threatened, the shooting in Kansas City, and what is going on? You can join us this hour. Are you watching this? Have you seen how many threats have come in? Have you seen the toppled gravestones, the attacks on mosques, the killing in Olathe, Kansas, outside of Kansas City there? That, the subject now of a hate crime investigation of an Indian immigrant there. What do you see happening? Did President Trump satisfy you with his condemnation the other night? Was it too little, too late? Has there been an active signal somehow from the Trump campaign and more greenlighting this kind of attack? Or what has changed in our political atmosphere, language, that might spark or drive this? And what's needed to stop it? According to the NYPD, there's been a 55% jump in the number of hate crimes in New York City so far this year compared to a year ago. Press conference Monday, Mayor Bill de Blasio there said anti-Semitic crimes in New York are part of a growing number across the country.
You saw what happened, the desecration of the cemetery the other day. This is becoming more widespread. And I've been very clear about an atmosphere of hate has been fostered in recent months in America, and we have to stop it.
Vice President Mike Pence was right out there outside St. Louis when the headstones were toppled there, 150 or so, with a rake in his hand helping clean up. He denounced the vandalism in remarks in St. Louis in the suburb of Fenton.
We condemn this vile act of vandalism and those who perpetrate it in the strongest possible terms. And let me say it's been inspiring to people all across this country to see the way the people of Missouri have rallied around the Jewish community with compassion and support. You have inspired this nation with your kindness and your care.
Jane Eisner is with us. She's editor-in-chief of The Forward. Jonathan Greenblatt's here, CEO, National Director of the Anti-Defamation League. Jonathan, you were saying that you have seen bigotry go from the margins to the mainstream, and I wish you would define what you mean by that. What have you witnessed that supports that assertion?
Sure. Let me give you some examples. And I think the one thing I would also note, building on what we just heard, I mean, Vice President Pence has shown tremendous moral leadership. His first overseas trip, he made a stop at Dachau, the concentration camp. Mm-hmm. He showed up with Governor Greitens at the cemetery last week, and he made an appearance for a Jewish group on Friday night in Las Vegas. So I don't want to give the impression the administration isn't doing stuff about this, but more needs to be done, and we can talk about those concrete measures in a moment. When I say it's moved from the margins to the mainstream, look, we saw white supremacist language images being tweeted out from the campaign. We saw
from
white
the campaign. What do you mean, the Trump
campaign? Mm-hmm. So at last, I mean, I think all of us are familiar with what happened last summer when a Star of David superimposed on the picture of Hillary Clinton was tweeted out by the Trump account. Now, did he do it or someone in his campaign do it? I don't really know. Mm. Did he understand that it was actually sourced from a white supremacist website? I don't know. But we brought these to the country's attention because at the ADL, we have a Center on Extremism that does this kind of research, and we knew exactly what it was. We have seen white supremacist media credentialed for political rallies. I mean, this is stuff that has just never happened before. And, of course, the speech, which was widely reported that he gave right before the election, also the language about an international banking conspiracy seeking to destroy U.S. sovereignty, it was lifted right out of the kind of propaganda we're very accustomed to from folks on the extreme right. Now, again, whether this is intentional or not, I don't know. But all I can do is look at the results. And the results, as you were mentioning a few moments ago, are stunning. So the question becomes, now in this environment, the White House has an enormous opportunity in front of it. And I think, again, there's momentum from the speech on Tuesday night. So we would ask, what steps will be taken to turn words into action so there's a legitimate policy process to address anti-Semitism, to confront this bigotry, and to make sure that we send a message to not just the Jewish community or the Muslim community, but to the world that America is no place for hate.
Jonathan Greenblatt at the Anti-Defamation League. Jane Eisner, there's a call for the White House to take more action here. But of course, right at the heart of the White House, you have Steve Bannon, who came out of Breitbart, which has been a magnet for a lot of this alt-right and not unfamiliar with the white supremacist elements of our society as well. I mean, how does that factor in? There's this sense of condemnation, yes, and we heard Vice President Pence very, very clear on that, and President Trump the other night, and yet a sense that somehow there's an ambivalence or a shading around these issues.
Yes, there is, I think for good reason. The Forward last week published an exclusive story showing that Sebastian Gorka, who is Bannon's assistant, right there in the White House, for many years was associated with anti-Semites in Hungary, tried to start a political party with some of the people who had been leaders in the Jobbik party there, which is a very far right-wing party that is anti-Semitic, among other things. And it's not at all clear to us that the White House understands the message that is being sent here. It gives social permission to people who use anti-Semitism and other forms of bigotry to promote a kind of nationalism that is not inclusive, that appears to favor white people here in America. And I think the president has a long way to go, not just in terms of his rhetoric, which is very welcome. Certainly he has said the right things in the right places, but policies, not only to investigate these crimes, as we've discussed, but also to examine the way his policies and the way they are framed promotes a sense that to be American is to be white and to be white Christian. And I think it's really important to understand the root of this, that it is tied to a policies that says we are going to build that wall, a rhetoric even in the State of the Union that implied that immigrants are responsible for crime. In fact, they're not. Are responsible for taking away jobs from Americans. In fact, we know that immigration helps the American economy and that crime is lower in immigrant neighborhoods.
And then we heard Jonathan Greenblatt yesterday and this morning on Morning Edition with NPR from the Attorney General of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, who was one of the people who was with Jeff Sessions just yesterday, I guess, and at the session right with the White House as well, where President Trump, the Attorney General of Pennsylvania reports, talked about these attacks, but then said you've got to be careful that these could be the reverse. This could be the reverse, trying to make people look bad. Apparently suggesting that these may have been staged instances of vandalism, trying to make him or people affiliated with him look bad. What's the suggestion here? Is there a denial going on?
Look, I mean, so I heard about those comments as well. They were alleged. I don't know exactly what the president said.
Well, it's not from no source. It's from the attorney general of the state of Pennsylvania, who was with the president in the White House.
Whose credibility I don't mean to impugn, but not having it on the record, being able to read it for myself, it's really rather inexplicable to try to make sense of that. But I think what that speaks to, Tom, is the reason why we want to see, number one, a fully resourced civil rights investigation by the Department of Justice. These are hate crimes, like the killing of Srinivas Kuchibalota in Kansas. Mm-hmm. And we want to see the justice from India, the immigrant who he and his colleague, two engineers with Garmin, the software company, were shot
just
and
having
killed.
Dinner.
I mean, so as those were hate crimes, so are these attacks on the Jewish community. We want to see them fully investigated. We think the president should convene all the federal agencies in a task force that would address anti-Semitism and come up with policy measures to fight hate. We think the FBI, which is doing great work, by the way, investigating the situation, and we've been in direct contact with them at the ADL now, and I'm impressed by what they're doing. Still, I think it's incumbent upon them to ensure that state and local law enforcement agencies are trained up on how to handle hate crimes and that they're tracking them effectively. I think Homeland Security should clarify that their program on countering violent extremism will not be reduced, as has been reported, to just focus on radical Islam, but will continue to encompass neo-Nazis and white supremacists. And then finally, you know, we believe at the ADL that prevention is the best medicine. And in order to address anti-Semitism and bigotry more broadly, education can help. So I'd like to see Education Secretary DeVos emphasize and elevate federal funding for anti-bias, anti-hate curricula in classrooms across the country.
But what's a bigger education than the bully pulpit of the presidential campaign itself? And we had a lot of that. And
no. Well, you know, you know, as they say, you know, you campaign in poetry and you govern in prose. It's time for the president to write the book that says at every opportunity, as firmly and as forcefully as he condemns Saturday Night Live or talks about the ratings of The Apprentice, to say anti-Semitism is unacceptable. And it will not be tolerated by anyone in the administration. Now, again, we should give him – it was welcome what he said on Tuesday night.
But he said a lot of things in the last 18 months, and that surely is part of setting the tone for what we're in the midst of now.
There's a reason why we are hearing – because at the ADL, we have 27 offices across the country, and we track hate in all its forms.
Yep.
I can tell you that we've seen – we've heard reports of pediatricians reporting a spike in anxiety and panic attacks among immigrant children. We've heard of Muslim parents reporting that their daughters are questioning whether it's safe to wear headscarves to school. And of course, as you sort of alluded to, there have been a number of arson attacks against mosques in the past few weeks.
Yep.
And the Islamophobia has simply become almost commonplace in ways that are really disturbing. And look, the rollback just last week of protection for transgender students will likely engender fear among that vulnerable population. So there are a number of factors here that are creating the conditions of which we have certainly not seen in recent memory. And the president, I think, and everyone in the administration has a responsibility to speak out against it and take steps to stop it.
We've got a lot of callers waiting to get in here, but I want to bring in Richard Cohen in the Southern Poverty Law Center, the president there joining us from Montgomery, Alabama. Richard Cohen, welcome back to On Point. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks, Tom.
What do you see going on in this? Is it fair to call it a spate of hate crimes? Or, I mean, certainly we've seen lots of incidents of vandalism here. We've seen lots of threatening calls to Jewish community centers. We've seen these attacks on mosques. We saw, of course, the killing in Olathe, Kansas. What do you see happening here, Richard?
Well, I think it's obvious that we're seeing a spike in the number of hate incidents across the country. You know, the day after the election, we set up a hate crime reporting forum. And, you know, within 10 days, we had almost 900 incidents, 100, you know, very vile anti-Semitic ones. And, of course, the incidents died down after the initial days, which told us that they were obviously connected to the campaign itself. And 40% of those 900 incidents bore Mr. Trump's signature. They used his slogans, you know, make America white again, or variations of his slogans. They referred to Trump explicitly. They used, you know, Trump's misogynistic comments about women. And so we saw a real explosion since then. And it's obvious why, right? Mr. Trump traded in ethnically charged language during his campaign, anti-Semitic imagery, as Jonathan mentioned. vilification of communities on the basis of their religion. The suggestion that the Muslim community in America wasn't a loyal one. And, you know, when you do that, coupled with, you know, condemnations or, you know, ridiculing of so-called political correctness, you create an atmosphere where people feel a license to act on their worst instincts. And that's what we've seen after the election. And I think that's probably what we're seeing with the spate of attacks on, Jewish community centers and daycare centers. It's really quite disturbing.
Couple of callers right here. Jansen in Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you for calling, Jansen. What do you see? You're on the air. Hello, Jansen. Are you there? Maybe not. Let's go to Robert in Cottonwood, Alabama. Robert, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Trump has no credibility. He is a bully. He is the one that greatly divided this country as it is now. He has influenced people, good and bad, same thing as that happened here in the South back in the 50s and 60s, by the leaders of Alabama. When you talk bad or something, you help people out there that don't have sense enough to think for themselves and act accordingly, think they're doing the good for the president's statements. No, Trump has no credibility. You cannot believe his statements and what is behind them. Thank you.
Robert, I appreciate your call from Alabama. Let me get Jansen here from Nashville as well. Jansen, you're on. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I work both in photography and real estate in Nashville, and so as a result, I end up in a lot of sort of rundown, abandoned buildings doing work.
Okay.
One thing I've noticed just in the past 2, 3, 4 weeks is a major resurgence of KKK-related vandalism and artwork inside all of these otherwise abandoned buildings. A lot of it with Trump's name written on it. Other times, one of the slogans I've been seeing most often is the statement, it's not a white or black thing, and this image is surrounded by swastikas, crossed out Stars of David, symbolism of Islam all at once. But all of this, because I'm in these buildings often enough, has happened, you know, within the last month or two.
What do you make of it, Jansen? You're witnessing something there. I don't know what to make of graffiti in abandoned buildings.
I mean, it just seems like an increased mobilization from these, you know, groups feeling able to be out in the open, especially since, you know, Nashville, I've grown up here, hasn't traditionally been a hub for, you know, the KKK or racism at large, in the way at least I've seen it in other places.
Yeah.
In the South.
Jansen, I appreciate your call as well. Richard, there's two from Cottonwood, Alabama, and from Nashville. I mean, what are we to make of this kind of alternating current here? I mean, there's the president before Congress condemning in very clear language all of this. And on the other hand, you and our callers are saying, well, but there's encouragement of it from, is it the president or the people around the president or somehow from the messages of the president at the same time? What are we going to make of that, Richard?
Well, I mean, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth, you know, and you know, people from Alabama know demagogues because we grew up with George Wallace. You know, Mr. Trump has never taken responsibility for the fact that his words, the ethnic-charged language that he used in his campaign, have opened wounds of division in our country. He's never taken responsibility for that. He's also consistently minimized the problem. You might remember, you know, on 60 Minutes with Leslie Stahl right after his election, he said, oh, yeah, I've heard about one or two incidents that have been occurred. I'm really surprised. Well, there's no reason to be surprised. In an interview with the New York Times, he said, gosh, I can't understand why people would be on the radical right would be energized by my campaign or my right. I have to look into that. I mean, you know, he's feigning ignorance when he is responsible for what's happening.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Jewish cemeteries vandalized recently. St. Louis, Philadelphia, Jewish community centers threatened, 100-plus Jewish community centers and schools, bomb threats and more. The shooting in Kansas City. We're looking at what's going on here with Jonathan Greenblatt. He is CEO, National Director of the Anti-Defamation League. Jane Eisner is with us from New York, Editor-in-Chief of The Forward. Richard Cohen is here, president of the Southern Poverty Law Center, joins us today from Montgomery, Alabama. The president has been talking very prominently about this in the last, well, on Tuesday night before Congress. There were some other exchanges that were a little harder to figure out. This was February 16th, that rambling press conference that got so much attention then. And the president responded to a question from Jake Turks of Ami Magazine about threats against Jewish community centers and the rise of anti-Semitism at that point. This was earlier. I mean, now, I mean, just this week, on Monday, there were 31 bomb threats called into 23 community centers and 8 Jewish day schools around the country. Fifth series of those threats. But this was back in the middle of February. It got a lot of attention, this exchange. Listen.
We understand that you have Jewish grandchildren. You are their Zaidi. However, what we are concerned about and what we haven't really heard being addressed is an uptick in anti-Semitism and how the government is planning to take care of it. There's been a report out that 48 bomb threats have been made against Jewish centers all across the country in the last couple of weeks. There are people who are committing anti-Semitic acts or threatening to.
See, he said he was going to ask a very simple, easy question. And it's not. It's not. Not a simple question. Not a fair question. Okay, sit down. I understand the rest of your question. So here's the story, folks. Number one, I am the least anti-Semitic person that you've ever seen in your entire life. Number two, racism. The least racist person.
The president on February 16th, but it was an odd exchange. And then we heard from the Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro this morning in NPR's Morning Edition talking about this meeting with President Trump, a bunch of attorney generals there, where Trump condemned the anti-Semitic attacks. But then the Attorney General of Pennsylvania said this.
But then the second thing he said, which really confused me and many other attorneys general, is he said, you know, you've got to be careful. It could be the reverse. And he used the word reverse a couple of times and said that, you know, perhaps people were trying to make others look bad.
An acceptance, a condemnation, but maybe a denial. We're trying to figure out what exactly is going on here, what to make of the scale. Doug in Augusta, Georgia. Doug, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I know this is all very terrible. We did have the incident with the tombstones, and there has been an uptick in these incidents and threats. I would just kind of like to caution you and your guests that, you know, life has always been, you know, full of difficulties and hate, you know, ever since the human race has been around. We did have the incident with the tombstones. Terrible. I absolutely am against any of this, any hate as such compared to people. But I know there's been about 100 community centers that have been threatened. This is not to be tolerated at any level. And I'm sure the FBI is working very hard to address this. But, I mean, and there was an Indian man shot in Kansas, but that's kind of conflating, you know, maybe an anti-Asian bias with an anti-Jewish bias. If you look, say, in Chicago, just the violence in our streets, you know, 100, well, you know, teenagers are shot every weekend in Chicago. I know it sounds bad. I know it's terrible, but at least nobody's really getting killed right now. I would posit.
Well, I mean, of course, there has been the killing in Olathe, Kansas. That gentleman was killed over his dinner.
Yeah, man. What I would like to say is, let me just try to condense this. It could be, you know, I would say there's probably 100, you know, great, you know, ceremony desecrations every week in America spread across all types of people being the victims.
Doug, I think we got the gist of it, and I want to take it to Jonathan Greenblatt, if I may. I appreciate your call. Jonathan, there's always been violence. There's always been hate. Settle down, everybody.
Yeah, like, look, the history of the Jewish people tells us we can't afford to, quote unquote, settle down. We're privileged in so many ways in this country, but that doesn't mean we're not going to be as vigilant as we have to be in order to make sure those privileges are and those rights are protected. And the fact of the matter is that the caller isn't wrong to say there hasn't been hate all the time. The caller isn't wrong to say there haven't been cemetery desecrations. But the pattern of behavior, the pattern of actions is real. Now, I think what's different today than previously, and Jane started with this a little bit, is the role of technology and social media, which has been such a force for good in bringing people together. But we at the ADL who study and analyze this we look at the fact that there's 1.6 billion people on Facebook. There are half a billion messages a day on Twitter. And what we see are the racists and the bigots, the anti-Semites, using social media to organize more effectively. Last year, we did an analysis of 12 months of Twitter data to look at, was there really a pattern of anti-Semitic abuse directed against Jewish journalists? Tom, we found over 2.6 million anti-Semitic messages, tens of thousands directed at a handful of journalists. These were conservative and liberals, Republicans and Democrats, reporters and pundits. The only thing these people had in common was the fact that they were Jewish. And I think what's interesting to note about this, we found about 1,600 accounts that were driving the vast majority of the abuse. So whether it's these bomb threats to JCCs, whether it's targeted attacks on individuals, there is a level of orchestration and choreography that we have not seen before. And finally, to put a punctuation mark on this, while the caller is right to say that to date no one has been killed, a week and a half ago, the FBI arrested a man in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, who was planning a Columbine-style attack on a synagogue. He, in his own words, confessed to the court when he was being arraigned that he was trying to emulate Dylann Roof, the man who murdered 9 African-American parishioners in a black church in 2015. So the good work of the FBI, you know, put this man behind bars. But we have got to be vigilant because it is only a matter of time before something happens unless we take action.
And, of course, Mr. Srinivas Kochubatla, who was shot there in Kansas, very much lost his life here. Jane Eisner, our caller says, sure, the FBI is working hard on this. But, of course, now we've got the Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions, in a lot of hot water over these Russian contacts, plenty of criticism from Republican colleagues there, and now Chuck Schumer, Minority Leader of the U.S. Senate, is calling for Attorney General Jeff Sessions to resign. Do you see U.S. law enforcement led by Attorney General Jeff Sessions as positioned, Jane, to go strong and hard after this surge?
I think that we have to trust that the people in the FBI and the Justice Department who are there from administration to administration, who are just really good public servants, will continue to do their job no matter what is happening at the very top. But I think that there's no doubt that we need to maintain the pressure on the administration to make sure that it does implement the kinds of actions that Jonathan spoke about before. We also need to put a pressure on state and local law enforcement to keep up there. And I think that we saw that. For example, you just heard from the Attorney General in Pennsylvania. I know that the mayors and the governors in Philadelphia and St. Louis in Pennsylvania, Missouri, have really shown that they cared about what happened in the cemeteries. And let us not forget, I understand that caller was trying to make a point, perhaps not as elegantly as he could have, but people have died. And when you watch, as I just did, the video of the widow who talked about her husband's, Suniyana Dumala, and she said, "What is the government going to do now?" It could not get more heartbreaking than to listen to someone who came to this country, is trying to work hard and contribute, and has to face this kind of incredible loss because the killer said he thought that her husband was Iranian, as if that justified it. I'm sorry. I think that we really do have to attack this on all levels of our society.
Jan in Mountain Air, New Mexico. Jan, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Tom. You know, I'm sorry, but Donald Trump has sanctioned all of this. His being has sanctioned all of this.
His being? What is being?
Yes. He's a hateful person. Let's talk about grabbing women. Let's talk about the drug dealers and the rapists coming across the border, my border, by
his assertion when he announced his candidacy. Yeah.
And you can't appoint somebody like Jeff Sessions, who thinks the Ku Klux Klan is okay until he found out they smoked marijuana. You can't surround yourself with Steve Bannon and that Gort guy. You can't do that and then get up and say that you know, hate's not okay. All of your people are representative of white supremacy. They're representative of misogyny. They're representative of racism. And so he can get up there and say, well, hate's not a good thing, but those words are hollow. They are absolutely hollow. He is not walking the talk. The walk is one of hatred and discrimination against every group of people that's not a white conservative that voted for him.
Jen, I appreciate your call from New Mexico. Richard Cohen, is it fair to say that, there's just blatant hypocrisy here?
I don't think there's any question but that there's hypocrisy in Trump talking out of both sides of his mouth. If I could make one more point, Tom, you know, we've talked about a lot of grim things today, but there are some examples of Americans coming together and showing their true character. I point to Victoria, Texas, where just hours after Trump announced his Muslim ban, a mosque was burned to the ground.
Yeah.
Immediately, the local synagogue, the local churches, opened their doors to the Muslim community in an act of love. Within hours, the local community had raised $1 million to rebuild that mosque. The American people are good people, and we deserve a president whose character is good as the American character.
And let's not forget Ian Gralat, who was out there in Kansas, who tried to intervene when the shooting was going on there, himself wounded in that, but very brave, and brave for the right reasons right there. And I take your point entirely. Anne in Charlotte, North Carolina. Anne, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to make a comment that I agreed with your guest about bringing more education into the school systems across the country. My son is in middle school here, and he's experienced ever since November or leading up to the election anti-Semitic things in his very diverse middle school here. Hail Hitler signs, people saying stuff to him, and it's just been an uptick, and not only for anti-Semitism here, but LGBT kids being harassed in schools. And it just seems that the Trump administration has given the okay for people to spread hate around, especially, you know, to these kids.
Yeah. Well, that makes it real. Your son's seeing it right there in his school.
Yes, yes. And, you know, he's 11. So he doesn't really understand why, you know, people can be so mean at that age to people that are different. And also, I just wanted to give a shout out. We were, I think somebody on your panel was saying, you know, there is good in the American people. And I just wanted to say, you know, Linda Sasar has done an amazing thing. She raised, you know, over $100,000, I think, to the Pennsylvania Cemetery. So, and she's a Muslim woman in New York. So she's stepped up and done amazing things. So, but yes, I think education is important.
But of course, I mean, again, education happens in all kinds of ways. You can do it in a classroom, but you do it from the campaign trail. That's a kind of education as well, with its own consequences. I appreciate your call, Anne. One more right here. Donna in Eagle River, Wisconsin. Donna, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I'm a psychologist, and I'd like it to be known that actions speak louder than words. And if you want, as we all want, these anti-Semitic and anti-anything that's white American hate crimes to stop, Bannon needs to get out of the White House. Trump is sending a message loud and clear to all these people, all of his supporters, that those crimes are A-okay because he has Bannon in the White House.
Donna, our time is short. Let me take that right to Jonathan Greenblatt, CEO of the ADL. What do you say, Mr. Greenblatt?
Well, look, I mean, we expressed real concern when Steve Bannon was announced as this new chief strategist role because, indeed, of his work as executive chairman of Breitbart to make it, as in his own words, the, quote, platform of the alt-right, which is, again, this loose-knit band of neo-Nazis and white supremacists who are so hostile to pluralism and tolerance and how we think of America. So I appreciate the caller's perspective. And I must say, to build on what Richard said in the prior caller, I am heartened to see the displays of pluralism from ordinary Americans. And at a time when we have questions about our leadership on top, it's incumbent upon all citizens to find ways to connect. Anti-Semitism comes from the extreme right and elements of the radical left. You don't get away with demonizing people for their faith or their ideas, no matter what your ideology. What it takes are people of good character to convene and energize this the power that is the American people to do things, whether it's a mosque rebuilding, a cemetery.
But take Donna's assertion. She says actions are louder than words. If Steve Bannon is there in the White House, then you've got at best a mixed message. What do you say?
There's truth to that. I mean, again, I think the president with his deeds can demonstrate his commitment to tolerance more so than with his rhetoric.
Jonathan Greenblatt, CEO, National Director of the Anti-Defamation League, with us today from New York. Thank you very much for joining us, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Jane Eisner, Editor-in-Chief of The Forward, also with us from New York today. Thank you very much for being here, Jane.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Richard Cohen, President of the Southern Poverty Law Center, with us from Montgomery, Alabama. Thank you so much for joining us, Richard.
Take care, Tom.
Listeners, you can continue this conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Thank you for being here today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.